Welcome to the NLP Talks podcast, bringing you inspirational stories along with a good dose of potentially life-changing NLP strategies. I'm Laura Evans, multi-award-winning NLP trainer, and I'm on a mission to help you unleash your potential in business and life. I'm so glad you're here. Pull up a chair, listen in, and let's get started on revealing more about this transformational NLP toolkit. Hey, how you doing? I hope you're well. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the NLP Talks podcast. And I cannot wait to introduce today's guest to you, who is Kalita Dainton. Now, if you're a regular listener of this podcast, you may know that name because, of course, Kalita was one of the very first guests I had on the podcast back in series one in 2019. Now, I was delighted when Kalita agreed to come back on the show for two reasons. One, to share with you all what's been going on for her in the last 7 years since she originally qualified with me on our certified NLP training courses. But in addition, to talk about a very unique project which she has been involved with. She's been using her NLP skills to work with male prisoners in a Category B prison. Now, the aim of this personal development program is to empower people to change their mindset and ultimately with an objective of reducing reoffending. When people start to realize that they have a choice and sometimes there's a different way to go about doing things, different things start to happen in terms of outcomes. Now, this podcast episode is just brilliant because Kalita elegantly explains some of the concepts from NLP and how she has tailored the concepts for her audience. You see, the thing about NLP is although when you come on certified training, you learn a generic set of skills from me, the art, I believe, of a really skilled NLP professional is being able to tailor it to that audience. She talks about concepts like the NLP communication model, what is NLP and how she explains that, as well as focusing in on techniques like the NLP anchoring circle of excellence and a brilliant explanation of how she used it and a great illustration of a story of a gentleman that she used it with. She also talks a lot about the power of language and demonstrating the impact that the mindset and language that we use every day has on our results. I loved one of the quotes I pulled out of her episode around how we can flex our behavior to get a different result, because that's what the program is all about that she's going to share with you. She talks about labels and we have a fascinating discussion around suspending judgment. So I can't wait for you to listen to this episode. So let's cut across to where Kalita starts talking about where her journey with NLP training with me started back in 2017.
2017, Laura, March, actually, 2017, I came and joined your practitioner course. And initially, I just want to get a certificate to prove that I was confident. I'd been made redundant. I didn't know who I was, what I was, where I was going, had lost all confidence in myself and my life. And I just thought, I'll look at this. They do a coaching certificate. I spoke to the lovely Lynn, who said, yes, you can come and do that, but you need to sign up and do a prac course before you can do coach. Ah, really? Okay. I actually used React funding for that because I'd been made redundant and I lived in Wales. So I got my React funding. I came across, and I have to say, I never looked back. It changed my life. I didn't realize what a massive influence it would have on my life then, and actually even now. What are we? We are 7, nearly 8 years fast forward, and yeah, NLP truly changed my life.
It's funny, right? Because when you say 2017 and like it's 7 years ago, and I'm just sat there going, I've known you that long. Have I really known you that long? And I really have. And in one sense, it feels like we've been through a lot. And on another sense, it feels like it was like literally, I'd say a year ago, two years ago. It's interesting, isn't it? It's absolutely fascinating. And I'm super, super excited to have you back because you were one of my very first guests on this podcast when we launched this podcast back in 2019. Yep. I still remember. Do you remember that day when we went into that little broom cupboard?
Yeah.
We were in and we recorded the very first episode. So, so many reasons to be excited to have you back on the show, because you've trained for so long and you've had your successful coaching business for so long. And of course, you're a returning podcast guest. You know, you're the first person I've had back on the show that's already been on it before. So very exciting. Now, I'm going to come back and talk all about that at the end, because there's so many little bits and bobs I want to share. But one of the reasons that I asked you if you would come on the show is because of the way that you've been using NLP in a way that a lot of people I don't think would ever have thought about. There's lots of coaches on this podcast. There's lots of self-development on this podcast. But the way that you're using NLP to help a specific group of people, I think is just utterly amazing for so many reasons. And I just know the whole episode is going to be full of all of these wonderful things. So do you want to kind of introduce the project that you've been involved with and just start to give us a bit of an insight into how that's been and some of the things that you've done with the knowledge that you got from all of the training that you did?
Absolutely. I'm very lucky to be part of your network. And we have a great NLP community, as we call them. We love to be in the NLP bubble. And there was an opportunity that arose in the Student Hub. And anybody who's trained with Laura will be a member of the Student Hub. And an opportunity arose to, they were looking for NLP practitioners. And this specific project, we're looking for NLP practitioners to come and work within a prison. And I saw it and thought, wow, that's really interesting. And actually, that really feels like a bit of me. So I managed to get in touch with the company by you. So thank you, Laura, because without you, I wouldn't have ever got the opportunity. I went and met the guys, and they're actually called the Rise Up Project. And they work within prisons all around the country. And the aim is to help people change their mindset and hopefully stop reoffending and realize that we all have a choice and that there's a different way sometimes to doing things. And as we all know, that we always do the same stuff that we do every day. We have patterns, we have strategies, we understand, or maybe we don't understand actually, that we can change these things. And they were looking for NLP practitioners to come in and work as part of the team alongside drama practitioners, poetry therapist, an art therapist, and just come in and help facilitate with prisoners, which I did. And my role is to help part NLP wisdom to the prisoners and teach them that there's a different way to think, to act, to feel, and that actually our behavior and our physiology and our thoughts and our state are all linked together. And I've been doing that now for about over 2 years. And I've just finished literally yesterday a 3-month stint of delivering this 12 sessions, which is basically 2 sessions a day at the moment, working through a 12-piece course that helps them to change their mindset.
When you went in for that very first workshop, I guess your NLP training helped you manage your mindset and your nerves and all of that stuff. But in terms of, you know, the prisoners themselves, you know, that's perhaps a client group that not, you know, everybody is going to have experience of. And, you know, how your typical coaching client that you might work with in your coaching practice is going to be really quite different to how, you know, you've helped a completely different group of men in a prison, you know, that for whatever reason have ended up there, and you know, and how you interact and talk with them, I'm guessing is going to be quite different to how you would explain something, for example, from the NLP toolkit to one of your other coaching clients that you might work with. So can you give us a feel for, I don't know, maybe pick one of the models from the NLP toolkit that if someone is trained in NLP with me or someone else and is listening, they'll be like, oh yeah, I know that model. And then maybe help us understand how you explain that in a way, because one of the things I think is a great skill of a great NLP professional is to take something that you've been taught, but explain it in a way that's relevant and understandable by the client group that's in front of you. Now, whether that's children or in this case, prisoners, actually, I think that's a real skill. So I'd love for everybody listening to the podcast to get the benefit of understanding how you would go about doing that and how you did.
Absolutely. I initially, you're quite right. I had to use my NLP skill set on myself going into the prison, because it's a very daunting thought. And this is a men's prison as well. And I'm not a ladies' prison. It's a men's prison. It's a category B prison, which is one of the higher risk prisons. And I absolutely had to set my mindset and my intention and my physiology, had to make sure that I was breathing and acting as if I was kind of modeling how would I feel if I was super confident and I'd totally been here a million times before and I totally used all of my toolkit myself going into prison. The very first session that I deliver with the project is the NLP communication model.
Okay.
And interestingly, the NLP communication model, we've simplified it ever so slightly because we don't want to overload those people. So a coaching client might come to me and they've kind of chosen me. They've seen me somewhere. They've maybe followed my social media. They might have heard a referral from a friend or a previous client. They've chosen me. These guys haven't chosen me. I have to build rapport with them. I have to make sure that I'm talking on their wavelength. And sometimes actually that involves my language skills, which obviously are crucial with NLP, have to be on point. And with the communication model, we've simplified it. And I use it in a way that I draw the communication model head. So I draw a head and I always make it a little bit dodgy. So it maybe looks like a Mr. Potato Head, or we had a Homer Simpson once, just because it's helping to embed that learning. And then I'm making them laugh and they get to take the mickey out of me a little bit because, oh, she's useless at drawing. But actually, I explain then that external events are happening around us, and I talk about our unconscious mind and our conscious mind and how we process information and how that information comes in through our senses. And it then goes through filters. And actually, we narrow it down. We just say, you're shaped by your beliefs, your experiences, and your values. Because if I was to add all of the different meta programs and time and space, that might just blow their minds a little bit. So we simplify it. We just have 3 points, which gets deleted, distorted, or generalized. And then that gives us an internal coding and affects our emotional state. And I talk about our emotional state, which then has an effect on our physiology, which then can link to our behavior. And sometimes they do look at me a bit like rabbit in a headlights. What is this stuff? And then I'll say to them, let me show you how this works. And I'll say, I want you to all think of your favorite food. Now, actually, this is a really cool thing to do, because if you're in prison, you're not really going to access your favorite food. But I'll say to them, what's your favorite food? And I get them to think about it. And as we know, our unconscious mind is super fast and super clever. So immediately I can see, because I'm trained in their body language, they're thinking about that food. And a guy I had last week, his was lobster. And everybody, I said to everybody, look at him, watch him. And he was licking his lips. You could see he'd gone all warm and fluffy and all. Oh, I really love it. And actually I said to them, this process, the NLP communication model in action. And you are doing this all days. And quite often I'll use the example of blue cheese, because personally, I don't do blue cheese. For me, it would make me feel a bit yucky. And even my face is telling me, because I can see myself right now, oh God, blue cheese. And I have an invisible piece of blue cheese in my hand, and I will go up to somebody who says, oh, I don't like it. Watch their body language. Watch how it changes from somebody who really likes it to somebody who really hates it. And look at the difference between the two. And actually, when you understand that this is happening at all times, our brain is doing this. It's filtering that information based on our experiences, our beliefs, our values. It's affecting how we feel. It's affecting our physiology, which affects our behavior. That's our superpower. And when we understand that that's our superpower, that's when we can make changes in our life and our thought processes. And that's how we can get better results. And obviously, I touch a little bit on neuro pathways, linguistics, words. And we do a lot with language and words in the course. And then communication, P, programming. So the strategies that you run. And I talk to people about your programming. Well, what we're all being programmed, because of course, in prison, you know, we're being controlled. Well, actually, you're all running your own programs, your own strategies. Really? Yeah, absolutely. Tell you what, how about you imagine you're brushing your teeth right now? And they're kind of like, okay, which hand do you hold your toothbrush in? Well, my right hand. Okay, put it in your left hand. Try it with you. And they, oh, no, that feels weird. How about you all fold your arms? And they all fold their arms. How about you unfold it and now do it the other way? Fold them the other way. And they look at me, well, it feels weird. Absolutely, but that's just a program you're running. How about you wear your watch or your jacket inside out or do whatever? And actually, It's little things like that that I can use my NLP toolkit and I'm teaching them, but actually it doesn't feel like woo-woo or overwhelming for them.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm just listening to you talk and I'm loving it because obviously for those of us listening to this episode and listening to Kalita that are trained in NLP, we're going, yeah. That's that bit. But actually you've just explained it in a way that is so simple and so straightforward and easy to grasp.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the thing, right? Because the program that and the project that you're involved in is all about trying to drive up the right statistics in terms of reducing reoffending and helping these guys see, think and feel differently so that that's of benefit to the whole of society. And actually, that all boils down to behavior. Like, unless you can help them understand how their mind works so that they can influence their behavior, nothing's going to change, you know? And I just think that's just such a great way. I'm going to steal a couple of those ideas as well. Thanks, lady. Because I just think they're such great examples of that. And what a great way to start and bring it to life for them. How do you see people reacting to that? Because I'm guessing for this particular client group, whether that's in the prison service or the probation service, I know you've worked in both, you know, this is really quite different, right? And depending on how we explain NLP, it can also sometimes be quite, what you say, woo-woo-y and a little bit yeah, intangible. But actually, if you want to get outcomes, you've got to make it very tangible, very real. How do you see them reacting to you and to this really quite different way of thinking about human behaviour?
I think I have to give thanks to Ash and Stuart, who are the directors of Rise Up, because Ash has got a great backstory. He, mixed race background, grew up in Liverpool, got into some trouble, ended up being arrested. And he tells his story. He sets the foundation of the course. And the prisoners really identify with, because he was dealing in drugs, he got stabbed in Jamaica, he was incarcerated in Jamaica, so he's been through the prison, and he was only a young teen at that point. He then since went on and changed his life around. He's become a writer. So if we fast forward sort of 26 years, he's now a writer, he's got his book, he's got a TV deal. So he, it really inspires them, which is helpful for me, because then you've got some random woman standing up going, I'm going to teach you some NLP, and they look at you a bit like, what? So what I've had to do is really think about their situation, their scenarios, and how can I blend NLP into them rather than me trying to force NLP upon them. And I get to trial stuff. I must admit, I've probably told a few secrets that I've never told anybody else other than the guys I'm working with in the room, because if I was being fake with them and false and not telling the truth, they would see straight through that. And I think that's a classic NLP thing. Actually, we can read when people are not being honest or are holding something back or feeling uncomfortable, because we can read it in body language. But I have to work quite hard at building rapport with them, which is obviously something we're taught in NLP. I have to find something that makes me a little bit like them, although technically I have questioned my own skill set sometimes when I come home, because I haven't taken drugs, I haven't been arrested, I haven't been to prison. But actually, when we talk about our filters in our mind with the NLP communication model, and we talk about we generalize, we delete, we distort things, some of the sweeping statements that the guys make, yeah, but miss, everybody takes drugs. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Do they? Yeah, everybody takes drugs. I've served judges and solicitors and top, you know, really posh businessmen. And I said, but I haven't. And they kind of, yeah, you're lying. No, absolutely not. I've never felt the need to take drugs. I used to go out clubbing. I wouldn't even drink. I'd like the music. I'd get high on that experience. And you kind of see the light bulb moments going, oh, okay. And I've asked a couple of the colleagues I work with, you know, is that a bit wrong? You know, do I need to be like them? Absolutely not, because it's showing there's a different way. And sometimes we don't know what we don't know. So we grow up with that programming that we've had. We grow up with those beliefs that we've got, those values that we hold that sometimes are unhelpful. And actually, I'm just working with people. I'm not interested in what they've done. I'm not interested what their sentence is. I'm not interested what they're getting up to particularly. I'm interested in, can I help them realize that potentially there's a different way to do things? And if that means that it gets them out of prison and they don't reoffend, excellent. Do I meet some people who I think, yeah, I think you haven't quite got it yet. You're going to be back here. Absolutely. It would be wrong of me to say, oh, we go in and we solve the world. And that's not my role. But actually, if I can impart some of this magic, which is NLP, and help somebody make a difference to realize that maybe their past doesn't need to really affect their future. Sometimes they just need to take that lesson and let it go. And where do you want to be in that future? Let's use our language. What do you want? I love that word. And also my favorite question is, what's the worst that can happen? And so, yeah, I'm lucky. They kind of, touch wood, I'm not going to jinx it, but touch wood, I've not had anybody who's not bought in and actually gone, wow, this is powerful stuff, isn't it?
And I think you touched on their language, and I think, you know, that's a fascinating thing, right? So you've got a guy sat in front of you that goes, but everybody takes drugs, right? Now we can all sit here and say, not about drugs, because I haven't taken them either, but about something. We make a generalization because of our experiences, because we've been brought up, because our friendship group all do a certain thing or whatever. And so all of a sudden they've taken information that's in their experience, in their background, their beliefs, their values, as you just say, and make a generalization that everybody takes them. And that's not the case. I'm just sat here now thinking, oh my goodness, how many generalizations do we all make?
Yeah.
Based on our own experience of life, and go, well, therefore it must be. And actually, that's such a subtle but such an effective coaching strategy when you sit there and challenge someone, you know, with that. I just think that's you probably see lots of light bulb moments when you just, for you, it's a well-placed question, of course, because you're trained in language, you're a master practitioner, you know all of that. But to them, they're probably sat there thinking, oh, yeah. And I bet you love that light bulb, seeing that light bulb go off in their head.
I have multiple times that I love when I'm working, because I get to work with this course this group, and we can have up to 12, 15 people in a group for 12 sessions, so 2 sessions a day. And I get to see that shift in them, that understanding, those light bulb moments. And I work with a sound therapist as well. And the course it's been run through John Moore's University. I don't know if I've called that right, but basically it was in the making for a long time, and it's all structured so they get those changes. And at one point they get to have a sound bar. So I, as the NLP practitioner, my role on that day is to talk to them about the power of their language, how the words we use really affect how we think, how we feel, and how we can change how we feel. I am statements, owning that identity. If somebody's telling me, well, I'm a criminal, I'm not going to be anything different. Well, actually, what if you weren't? What could you be instead? What would you like to be? What's the goal? Where are you now? What's your present state? What's your desired state? Where do you really want to be? And actually, it's okay to be scared. It's okay to admit that you have fear of being something different, or even that you don't believe you're good enough. But let me see if I can help you work on maybe recognizing that you are worthy. And sometimes the things that we really want, absolutely, if you set your focus on it, and you really create that vision in your head with all the pictures, all the sounds, all the smells, all the feelings, and we tap that into our unconscious mind, actually, you could make this work. And you see that shift in them. And when you sit in a room full of prisoners who are all zoned out on the floor because they've just done a really cool meditation, and then they've had sound therapy, and they get up and they're like, wow, it is so rewarding. I am so lucky and so blessed that I get to go on that journey with them. And by the end of it, I buy them cakes and they're my best mate. So it's all good. Until I lock the door, or I say lock the door, lock the gate, because I'm a key holder now. That's a bit scary. But actually, when I lock that gate, that's my work done. And I can only do so much. It's down to that individual. We all have choice. We all have choice about our life, our decisions. And actually, everything that happens in our life is a result of a decision we made at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, those trained in NLP will know, you know, responsibility for change always sits with the client. You know, it's one of the themes of NLP. You know, you can't force people as much as we would love to encourage. You know, you can't force them to act and think differently. I'm guessing that through this project, and I'm digressing slightly here, but I'm thinking there's a lot of people that have a lot of judgment around these types of people. And, you know, and I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but in order to be able to actually help people change their behavior, you know, I guess you've probably, and you tell me I'm wrong, but I'm guessing you've probably changed your view slightly. Because I just think, so as an outsider, never been in prison, don't know anybody that has been in prison, you know, and that's not a world that I really understand. And on the outside, you look at that and go, okay, well, they clearly did something wrong. They're clearly being punished for that. They have had all of their you know, rights taken away, and they're locked up in this, you know, stone building, you know, and there's obviously something really bad that they've done, otherwise they wouldn't be there. But then there's the bit about, I was talking to someone else that's also done some work with prisoners, and she, I remember her saying to me, but then Laura, there's always a backstory. There's always a reason why they've ended up where they've ended up. And actually, you know, maybe they didn't have a great upbringing. Maybe they didn't have a good role model. Maybe they fell into bad groups and didn't realize there was another way. And actually, I'm wondering if actually having spent time with them, you've changed your view. Now, the reason this other person spoke to me was because there was a prisoner who was about to be released, and he loved doing NLP so much, he wants to train in NLP. So she was like, I want to check with you that you're happy to have him, because, you know, if you're not, then I'm obviously going to not recommend you. And so she's very respectful of my boundaries and my ethics and morals. And I was like, listen, he's a human being at the end of the day. And if he wants to do good in the world, then who am I to sit judge and jury and say, no, you shouldn't come on my course just because of your background? And so I'm just wondering, have you been on a similar journey yourself with this kind of experience and what you've been involved with?
Yeah, I think for me, I had a bit of a light bulb moment when we were giving certificates out on the very first session course I was involved with. And I realized I had a murderer's arm around my shoulder, and my brain was kind of going, this guy's killed people. And now you're smiling in a photograph with him. Oh, how strange is this scenario? He's just a man who made a decision at some point. Now, I'm not saying we could go down, that we could spend hours on this whole debate about nature, nurture, and, you know, are people mentally ill because that's why they've done stuff? Absolutely. All of those scenarios sit. But I heard a story in the prison. So it was Christmas time, and a man had a small child who wanted an Xbox for Christmas. He'd lost his job. He had no other extended family. He had no way of getting any money, and he wanted to make his son's Christmas. And he thought about the scenario, how can I get an Xbox? Well, actually, I know that house over there, there's one in the living room. And he went in and he burgled a house and he stole the Xbox because he wanted to give his son a Christmas present. So actually, his intention was not, I'm going to become a burglar, I want to be naughty, I want to break the law. It was actually, I want to please my son. Now, obviously, he got caught. Am I saying it's right that he burgled a house? Absolutely not. But the behavior was, you know, wasn't him. He was just, his intention was to actually give his son a Christmas present. And he made a wrong decision and, you know, went in and broke into somebody's house, got arrested for burglary and ended up in prison with me. And sometimes we absolutely are quick to judge based on our experiences and what we've been through before. And even my family members ask me, well, you know, their comms, or even the language that we use about them. Oh, do you see screws? No, I see prison officers, you know, and I see prisoners. But we all have and make assumptions about people based on our experiences and our preferences. And they are just people to me. And they all have a story. We all have a story. If anybody listening to this podcast to tell me they've never done anything wrong, they've never maybe taken an extra biscuit off a plate or helped themselves to something or, you know, done other stuff that maybe somebody else might look down their nose on. I mean, forever our parents are telling us off for doing stuff that's, you know, wrong behavior. And I think we're all, as humans, we're really good at judgment. And sometimes for me, I have to suspend any judgment I take. The people that I see in front of me on that day, there is no benefit to me in terms of, you know, they can't bribe me. Don't get me wrong. I've had some interesting conversations about how much money do you earn as a coach, miss? Because they always call me miss. And I'll say, well, you know, it varies. God, you know, you could make that much if you drove something for me up the motorway. And I'm like, yeah, but then I wouldn't get to enjoy the fresh air or see my children. And actually, I can make more money than that if I put my mind to it because I have a skill set and I can do it legally. And sometimes they don't realise that actually there is a different way you can do stuff. So yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, my great sentence is, I've just got out of prison, because they go, oh, and they're really shocked. What are you in for? Have you got a tag? No, actually, I'm on the right side of the bars. But you're right, we don't understand a lot of what goes on behind that big locked door. We're not allowed to. The press that they get is awful. And I'm not saying they're perfect at all, you know, because they have done, I'm not stupid, they're criminals, they've done time. But sometimes circumstance leads to an outcome that maybe isn't the best outcome. Mm-hmm. And we've all been there. We've all had situations where we haven't got the best outcome. And so sometimes we need to reevaluate, take a look at ourselves and say, what am I learning about this situation? And what would I do differently? And how can I flex my behavior to get a different result? I.e., do I need to sell drugs? Or do I need to get a telesales job? Well, they'll pay me loads in commission. Sorry, didn't mean to swear then. But all of those things are down to our own thought processes, our choices. Mm-hmm. And if we can get educated, and that's something, the beauty of NLP is that it's so simple that once you understand it, it is a superpower.
I think judgment's a fascinating topic. And you're right. I think we're all too quick to judge sometimes. And, you know, one of the presuppositions of NLP, respect other people's model of the world. People are always doing the best with the resources that they have available. I mean, all of what you've just said fits. But what you've just done is explain it in such an easy to understand way that just makes sense. So cool. Now, I know that there is an NLP anchoring technique, which we cover on our NLP practitioner course called the Circle of Excellence. And I know that that's part of the program that you're delivering for the project. And you've got a fascinating story of how you use that in real time. So before you get to the case study, could you just explain to everybody, again, another really common NLP technique? How are you using that? How is that helping people? And obviously then tell us about the real life situation.
Yeah, we drop this in. The beauty of the project I'm running is I have a number of NLP tools in my toolkit, and I have set ones that are designed for this course, but I can drop them in when it works for the people. So when I feel they're kind of with me and I'm ready to do this, the Circle of Excellence is brilliant. So I get them all to stand in a circle. I actually get them to do a time where they felt really excited or really happy. And when they feel that feeling, I want you to step forward as you feel that feeling. And as that feeling drops off, I want you to step back. And we tend to do that. And they all look at me like I've lost the plot. And I'm like, but could you feel it? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's take this one step further. What I want you to do is I want you to imagine there's a coloured circle on the floor in front of you. Give it any colour that suits you. And I want you to make it big enough so you can stand in it. And what I want you to do this time is when you feel that feeling, be really excited. And I use the script, see what you saw, hear what you heard, and really feel those feelings of being excited. And as you feel those feelings come up, I want you to step into that circle. And as they drop off, I want you to step back. And we do this anchoring technique a couple of times. And I tend to do positive emotions. So as when I'm coaching a client for confidence, I would talk to them about modeling and actually feeling confident and how we go back to a time where you felt really confident, really calm. With these guys, there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of fight or flight. There's a lot of fear. So I want them to have a bit of a positive, confident resource. I take them back to when you were laughing. Find a time. And also that's a really nice training environment, because if everybody's giggling, it just raises the energy in the room. We do that a couple of times, and then I get them to change the state, think about something else. And then I'll go, right, everybody, I want you to just imagine that colour on the floor. Just step into it and notice how you feel. And of course, if we've done it well enough, I can see the shift in their body, because it happens unconsciously. I can see them smiling, because even if they're just going back to that, and I'll reinforce it. And with the one particular guy that you've just mentioned, I've done this. And of course, I asked them at the end, what colour is your circle? So I'm reinforcing it all the time. What colour is that circle? What was that memory? Tell me about that memory. Happy, happy, happy. Let's reinforce it. He picked a purple colour and he had the most beautiful smile. And he just, big grin. I was like, I can really see you tapping into that thought. And those feelings are coming up for you. Yeah, yeah, I love it. Anyway, at the end of the course, we had to go on the wing. So some days they have lockdowns. So if an incident happens on the wing, quite often the prisoners are not allowed to move around. They get locked in their cells. They can't come to education. So therefore, sometimes we go on the wings to go to them. And on this occasion, we've been told there wasn't enough staff. We're on a lockdown. Okay, can we take an activity to the prisoners? Yeah, of course you can. And of course, I'm a key holder, so I can unlock. Fine. we took over some homework, and as we got onto the wing, and he was at a very end cell, and that is a bit daunting when you see their cells and you're in their space. That's where I really have to be quite brave, to be fair, and act as if I totally own my own space. About six guys came out of this guy's cell, and I believe that we just interjected at the right time where he basically was probably going to get a bit of a beating. And he came out, and they'd all run off down the corridor because obviously strangers in the wing. And he came out and he said to me, I'll rephrase it, stuff is going down. Not a good scenario. And you could see physically and emotionally, he was slightly relieved because we'd arrived, but also he was in a bad state. And so I said to him, okay, here's your homework, blah, blah, blah. And by the way, look at me. I said, what colour was your spot? And immediately his brain went to purple mist. Ah, do you know what? Just think about that spot right now. And he got that beautiful grin. His shoulders came up. Persona changed. Absolutely. And I just said to him, back with me tomorrow? Yes. I said, take a deep breath. I said, and use your spot. That's what it's there for. Thank you. And it was as quick as that. He just changed immediately because he'd learned how that he could pull up that state. And I'm not saying that when I walked away that maybe if they came back, it would have taken it down. But it took him from being anxious, fearful, obviously very scared, to actually smiling. And yeah, because it is. It's an unconscious process. It just, whoop, there's that nice, happy, positive feeling that came up. So for me, I was just like, wow, that's super powerful. And this is inside a prison wing, you know, where an incident had literally just happened. So It's powerful stuff, this NLP.
It really is. I'm welling up as you're telling that story because I'm just like, oh my God, that poor man, you know, was clearly in a really bad way. And because of an anchor which you'd previously set up for him, you were able just to give him a few seconds of light relief in that situation. Oh God, yeah, right. You don't want to go in one of those places. I'm terrified, you know. But it was great that you were there in that moment and you could help him and you could remind him of something which you had previously helped him with. Yeah,
it's
amazing.
It's a skill set and it takes time to learn it and it takes time for it to sort of go in. And I'm aware that for me, my NLP journey from that very beginning, going through practitioner, doing coach, learning hypnosis, I remember being really scared of hypnosis. Laura's not mind controlling me. I'm not having that. And then actually really understanding what that meant. And then going on to the master side of stuff and just thinking, holy moly, okay, amazing. That actually all of these tools that I have been ingrained in me that actually I can honestly say I live my life at a very calm pace majority of the time. It takes quite a lot to trigger me and to push me. And when I do get triggered and pushed, because I'm human like everybody else, I then ask the questions, okay, why did I just lose it over that? What is it? And where's that come from? And do I want to do that again? Not really, I don't like that. Okay, maybe we need to do a little bit of work on that. But I can honestly say, you know, majority of my time, I'm really quite calm, positive, upbeat. And even when things have been really bad, I've used my toolkit and practiced what I preach on myself. So they have a manual when they come in. All the tools are in the manual. They get to reinforce it. I draw on flip charts, so it's around the room with them. And even if they just take one thing away, then for me, that's all.
Just, I know that obviously on the courses and the training you did with me, you fell in love with hypnosis and did a journey that I think we all do on the courses, which is no one's hypnotizing me, it ain't happening. I know that was me as well. And obviously, I know it's one of the things you love doing and helping people with now and helping them to think differently using that tool. I know that there is a particular exercise that you do with the prisoners to help them to understand how their mindset influences their, what I would call performance, or what they believe they can and can't do and all of that stuff. And I think it would be lovely to share that with the listeners of the podcast. Obviously, you're using it in the context of with men in prison, but actually you could do this with anyone to show them the power of their mind. So I'm going to shut up, but I'd love you to share that.
So I do two versions. So the first version I normally pull up, so I'll explain about the communication model and they'll say, would you like me to show you how actually the power of our language is really important? And I'll choose my subject wisely. And as anybody who's trained in hypnosis, you know that actually certain people are more susceptible than others. And I'm not hypnotizing him, but I'm using the power of my language. I'll get him to stand at the front of the classroom in front of everybody. I'll get him to put his arm out and I'll ask him to naturally resist my touch. I obviously ask permission, can I touch you? We often make a joke about, I'm going to touch you, is that all right? And then, of course, I'm a girl, he's a boy. Anyway, but it gets a laugh. And I will test where his resistance is. And then I will talk to him and I'll say to him, look into my eyes and just look at me and just focus right now. Imagine that your whole body is filled with water or jelly or wobbly spaghetti. And actually, notice how weak you feel. And I want you to tell yourself that you are weak. You are really weak. You are super weak. And I'll do it until I think I kind of can see in his face that he's feeling a bit weak. And I'll say, put your arm out for me and resist me. And literally the arm will drop to the side and they look at me like I've got some weirdo witch hat on. And then all of the guys are like, oh, you've been owned by a girl, blah, blah, blah. They were amazed as well as fascinated that I haven't done anything amazing particularly. I've just used some language and a thought process. And then I said, okay, now push that aside for me. Let's forget about that. Do me a favor, just shake your body, shake it off. Think about something, you know, your favorite drink or whatever. And I said, okay, this time, look at me. Look into my eyes. What I want you to do is I want you to imagine you're a tall oak tree. Imagine those roots going through the floor, that strength, that really strong tree. And I want you to tell yourself you're super strong. In fact, that oak tree is now turning to steel. You are super strong. Take a big, deep breath in for me and be really, really strong. And you see the shift in their body. Now, and I'll grow over, you're strong. Tell yourself, I am strong. I am strong. Now put your arm out. And quite often, I cannot stop them because they're men. But also the power where they believe they are strong, what we believe to be true. And so we do that on a one-to-one. And quite often they're like, no, you've arranged that before. Can't believe it. And I talk to them. I say, okay, let's try this one. Point your finger out in front of you and say, I'm going to point behind myself, but I can't. I can't do that. Can't do that. And I get them to point their fingers and just notice the resistance in your shoulder, just saying I can't. And then bring it back to the front, shake it off. Now put your finger up, tell yourself I can go further. I can. And we get, and quite often we get hands right behind the back and they're like, wow. I'm like, when you tell yourself you can. I said, and if you want to, and for them, a great example is going to the gym. I said, use it in the gym. Tell yourself you can push that heavier weight and see if you can do it. And I've got multiple guys who come back to me. Oh, I lifted 100 and whatever it is, K. I don't know what's strong or what's not. It's the biggest I've ever done. I use can. And then I get them to practice with their breathing. Let's use this with breath. Take a breath. Say, I can, like you really mean it. Own that space. And I have them literally, I can, I will, I am, I'm able. And of course, we tie that into also sound therapists. We do positive affirmations, what we believe about ourselves, if we're telling ourselves, because our brains don't know the difference between fact and fiction. So if you don't believe it, why not lie? Why not tell yourself you can? I will. I'm able. I'm amazing. I'm awesome. I'm confident, whatever it is. I'm happy. You know, I'm sorted, whatever it is, because that power language and just demonstrating that to them. Well, yeah, I've been called a witch. I was asked, could I teach them hypnosis so they could hypnotize the guards to get out? No, I'll do that one. But yeah, they're all a bit, you know, but they all do it and because they feel it. And if you do it yourself, take a big deep breath in, feel confident, notice how that feels. And if you can't feel confident, who's somebody you know who is super confident and you can pretend to be? And it works.
I love it. I remember Bruce always saying to me when he had Eddie, their son, break his first board. You know, we do the board breaking on Masters, don't we? And Eddie broke his first board at 7. And Bruce used a similar tactic with him, turned him into the Incredible Hulk and used all the power of language to tell Eddie that he was strong, like the Incredible Hulk and all of this kind of stuff, and used this language. And Eddie broke his first board at 7. You know, so yeah, it's just fascinating, isn't it?
My board is just up there. You can't actually see it. It's out of shot. Oh, is it? Yeah,
my board is. We all keep our boards, right? It's just the momentum of those days. Listen, I could sit here all day and talk to you about that project because I'm so glad that Ash reached out to me and said, do you have anybody that would be interested in being involved? And I'm so glad that you put your hat in the ring and you guys have got to work together. And I love hearing you talk about how you use this toolkit and how you adapt it, make it accessible and all of those things, and that it's making a difference. I know you've got some stats to show the success and some feedback that you've had from the guys that you've worked with. I'd love you to, if you can put your hand on it, I'd love you to give us a flavour of the feedback you get when you work with people and, you know, some of the stats that show the success of what you do.
So, as part of the project, they have really carefully thought about how they deliver this to maximise results, basically. And we do impact measurement surveys throughout the course. So we do one on the first session, we do one in the middle and one at the end. And then all of that is worked out into percentages. And we always see an upward trajectory at the beginning. You know, we get their honest feedback and we say to them, it's a safe space, say what you like. But actually, all of the feedback has proven that we've got increased attitudes. I'm just having a look at the age ranges. So in 2022, we did 54 prisoners who attended the course across six cohorts. Our youngest participant was 18. Our eldest was 67. Average age is about 26. And we have somewhere in the region of, I have useful skills now, as an increase of 23%. I feel comfortable learning new things, increase of 21%. I feel in control of my life, an increase of 17%. I understand how my actions affect other people, an increase of 20%. And this is just a short window of time. And some of the feedback that they've given me, which I must admit, it does make me, I've had a couple of times where I've had to not cry. So it's punching my state. But it's helped me to see things differently to how I used to. It's helped me to see sense in so many different ways. I can't possibly fit it all on this paper. In a positive way, it's made me think about my actions and the consequences and how to stay positive. It has helped me to realise that my journey and future are not set in stone and that I can change my life and the choices I make. To stay positive, focused, to learn to control my emotions, to give myself time to make positive decisions in the future. And I've learned how to control my mind in different ways. And that's just a snippet. I have loads here, but I'm aware that our time is ticking. So
talk about making a difference in the world, right?
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing that nearly made me cry was we do art therapy. And one of the guys did a picture off his own back, and it was half black, half white. And it just put nothing is black or white. And I was blown away by his art. And I said, that's phenomenal. Please, you know, make sure you take it with you. Because they take their art back to themselves to make them look pretty. And on the final day, he came up and he had his picture. And I said, I'm so pleased you're taking it. He said, no. He said, this is a gift for you. He said, this is to say thank you for helping me change my ways. And this guy was a gang member from London who'd set fire to himself. He'd done all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. And his behaviour had literally changed in his time with us. He got Learner of the Month. And he is now what they call training to mentor other prisoners. And it took all of my strength to not cry at him gifting me that picture. And I have it here with me. It's actually rolled up at the moment, but it's sat on my desk right now. I'm going to get it framed. And that for me was just all the money in the world couldn't have given me what he gave me. And the fact that my toolkit, my training, my NLP skills have made, alongside other people, it's not all me, but I've made a difference in his world, and that's why I do it.
I'm so chuffed for you, and so chuffed for the people that you get to help. Absolutely amazing, and thank you for sharing all of those wonderful stories. I think that it's just such an eye-opener for people to realize how some of the things that we share on these courses are literally life-changing for people. And, you know, and I just so admire you and respect your professionalism, you know, in respect of how you've taken what I've taught you and turned it into something that is literally helping other people in so many ways. It's amazing. It's amazing. Now, I hate to draw such a harsh line under that because I could talk all day about it. But I also want to talk about your coaching business, right? Because in 2017, you trained with me around 7 years ago now in NLP. And of course, you've been, you know, running your coaching business since then. So 7 years down the line. I think sometimes people come and train with us and think, oh, you know, it's all right. You know, it's an investment for this year and I've done that. Tick the box, move on. And actually, you know, you're still personally getting benefit out of it 7 years later. And you're still coaching other people in your private practice and working with them. So, yeah, in terms of, this is the second time you've been on the podcast. Tell me a little bit about what's happened in the last 7 years and who are you now working with and how is that all going for you? And yeah, tell me a bit about that.
So the prison project pops its head up every now and again. I still have private clients. I do small business coaching. I do one-to-one. I still do confidence coaching, just stepping into doing a bit more coursey type stuff. But yeah, in all honesty, in 2017, when I wrote that goal on my prac course, none of this is still in there. But also it so is because my business has just grown strength to strength. And I can honestly say I use NLP every day. And I utilize it. I'm doing a lot of presenting. So I give a lot of talks and bring my skills that I learned on my NLP course. And now I teach other people how to do that and present effectively. So yeah, I'm still coaching. I do a lot with the business network. So I get to meet lots of different people there. And yeah, I'm still coaching. And I introduce myself. I'm a success coach. I help people think differently. And does that mean that I just stick to one line of coaching? Absolutely not. What it could be helping a mum get out of bed and getting her kids to school in the morning, or it could be helping to increase more revenue doing social media ads and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm really lucky that I feel like my skill set is bulging, and yeah, I'm still coaching and I'm still at the same place I was. Websites changed a little bit, and because we have to, you know, but yeah, I'm still coaching. And you know, thanks to you, Laura, because it's your fault I got addicted to NLP. And I still watch the demo videos. I still revisit your courses sometimes. My manuals, you can see, well, you probably can't see on the podcast, but behind me, my manuals are still sat there. There's loads of post-it notes in all the books I've got, and you've never stopped learning and you're always developing. But yeah, I'm still coaching and I love it, and it makes me happy every day.
Oh, I'm just so pleased. And I'm just so pleased that the difference it's made for you and for the number of people that you're helping. You know, I know that you, as you say, you regularly present to, you know, a room full of small business owners, and you're passing knowledge to them. You're helping the prisoners and the probation service. You're doing one-to-one. You know, like I would love you sometime to work out just how many people you've helped over those 7 years, because it's hundreds.
I actually thought, oh God, I know I've probably had way over a few hundred individual clients. I know that. And I get very organized at some point and go, oh, I'll write them all down. And then I get lost doing busy stuff and then it goes out the window. But yeah, I really should. In terms of coaching hours, I know that it's in the thousands now. And yeah, I should really consider that, because that would be a really cool stat to share, actually.
Yeah.
To say.
Yeah.
I've worked with so many people, and it's interesting how many people, even if I haven't worked with them, the stuff that I share sometimes on my social media, people will come up to me and say, oh, that was a top tip, or oh, I really love what you said that day, and please keep sharing it. So yeah, you never know how much that ripple that you wanted to start has now passed on, and I'm creating that ripple and hopefully making some waves as well. Let's make some waves and go surfing, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. 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 Well, listen, thank you so much for coming back on the show and sharing the stuff that you've been doing with the toolkit and how you've been using it. I know this episode is going to inspire a huge number of people. So thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. If anybody wants to reach out to you in terms of any things that you've talked about, whether they're looking for coaching or they're looking for small business support or whatever, what's the best way for people to get hold of you?
So you could go to my website, which is litabix.com, or find me on any social media at litabix. And or LinkedIn, Kalita Dainton, that's me. I think there's only one of me, and you can find me most definitely. You'll find my phone numbers and stuff if you need it. But yeah, drop me a message. And even if you just want to learn a bit more about how I use NLP in prison or other places, then always happy to have a chat. Always happy to give out, because what you give out, you get back. So.
Right then. So final phase of the podcast episode. So the quick fire round that everybody always goes, oh no. And true to form, I don't ever share anything with anybody about this quiz before they start. So this is completely off the hoof. So Kalita, question number one, why is the conventional wisdom about what you do just plain wrong? So the conventional wisdom, what most people believe about it, what do you think most people get wrong?
Well, our beliefs are only our beliefs because we believe in them. They're not really true, right? So the conventional wisdom is down to the individual. So what you believe to be true, I would encourage you to believe what I say is right. End of. What a question, Laura.
Jeez. I know. Well, I wasn't going to give you an easy one, was I? You've been here before. You've had the easy ones. Right. What makes you feel inspired?
Wow. What makes me feel inspired? People. all sorts of people doing amazing things and not being recognised for it, just doing their thing. And that inspires me because actually I know amazing people who just don't even recognise how amazing they are. So yeah, lots of my network, I have an amazing network and I get inspired by loads of beautiful people who happen to be connected to me.
So if the conventional wisdom that we live under failed us in 150 years time, so science or whatever failed us, and all that was left was a book about your life, what would the title be and what might the blurb on the back say?
Oh my God, you really did give me a tough one, didn't you? Okay, what would the title of my book be? Is That Squirrel Eating a Snickers? And the book would say, sometimes we don't believe the things that we see, but we still see them. Sometimes we don't believe the things that we hear, but we still hear them. And sometimes we've just got to think to ourselves, what's the worst that can happen? And write a book.
Love it. I absolutely love it. And of course, the reference to the squirrel is only going to mean something to the people that were on your Master Practitioner course. And those people that listen, I'm sure, will be chuckling just like I am, because I will never forget the Snickers and the squirrel incident. Anyway, that's for another day. Kalita, thank you so much for joining me. I've absolutely loved having you here. If any of the listeners that are listening to the podcast would like to find out more about our training, whether that be NLP practitioner, certified coach or master coach training or master practitioner training, then please do reach out to us via our website, unleashyourpotential.org.uk, and the lovely Lynn will be delighted to speak with you or exchange some emails with you so she can help you work out if our NLP training courses are for you. And if so, I can see you online if you are living anywhere in the world but you've got Wi-Fi, or indeed you can come train with me face to face. So thank you everybody for listening. Another amazing episode of the podcast. Everybody take care, and until next time.